Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Thank you very much indeed for that. It's 6 months since this shocking Hamas attack on Israel precipitated a massive and ongoing assault on Gaza, with a new report from Action Aid, as we heard earlier, described almost 2 million people being forcibly displaced as part of the war and 33,000 deaths. Today, Israel's Defence Minister Yoav Gallant said it's the right time to do a hostage deal with Hamas. His comments come one day after the Israeli military pulled out of Khan Yunis and after a weekend of more protests by the families of hostages. And in the last few moments, the wires are reporting Benjamin Netanyahu is saying a date has been set for an invasion of Rafah. So for an assessment of the impact of the last 6 months of this conflict and what is ahead, I'm joined by highly respected Israeli journalist Gideon Levy. Gideon, you're very welcome back to Drive Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, we now have apparently, according to the Israeli Prime Minister, a date set for the invasion of Rafah, despite calls from various countries, including the US, of holding back. You wrote yesterday in Haaretz, Gideon, that this conflict of the last 6 months is Israel's worst ever. Could it now be about to get worse?
How can it be defined differently? If you check where was Israel on the 6th of October, one day before the attack, and where is it now, after half a year of fighting in Gaza, killing and destructing in unbelievable scales, Israel is in a much worse condition. There is no one single achievement out of this brutal war, even not one. For Israel, not to speak about the loss of so many lives of innocent people. But above all, me as an Israeli, I'm ashamed to look at the mirror after this half a year. And more Israelis should look at the mirror and ask themselves, this is what we are, look what happened to us.
But your political leaders tell us, and their spokespeople tell us in this program, for example, that the achievement of this conflict from an Israeli's perspective, is that they've defeated Hamas, or just about.
Did they? Only today there were rockets over the south of Israel. Hamas is stronger now politically than it was before. Yes, the military capabilities of Hamas were destructed, not totally, but were destructed, obviously. But this can be repaired in a short period of time. The question is if Israel did achieve any political goal, anything which will make the life in Israel better, anything which will make the life in Gaza better. Nothing of this.
Did they have a choice? Because Israeli politicians say that the attack of October the 7th was so horrific that they had no choice but to respond militarily.
So let me doubt it. I mean, if the outcome is only with no achievements and only losses and heavy prices that Israel paid, so we shouldn't take it for granted that everything must be immediate revenge without any consideration how much, what proportion, what does the international law say, what is our morality saying, and above all, what do we earn out of it? I have no question about the issue that Israel faced a terrible attack on the 7th, no doubt about it. It had the right to retaliate. But you know, retaliation have all kind of ways. This was out of proportion.
What damage has it done, do you think? Despite the
above
obvious,
all
what
to
I mean,
our moral profile.
But
before we
answer that, even, or I ask you to answer that, the obvious and the obvious damage is the killing of 33,000 people, many of them innocent people, many of them women and children.
Sure.
But beyond that, my question is really about the damage it's done to Israel and those who support Israel.
First of all, Israel became a pariah state like never before. And I insist on this definition like never before. And in many ways, rightly so. People who are exposed to the scenes in Gaza cannot continue supporting Israel if that's its policy. And secondly, not only, you know, the image abroad, our own profile, our own image. What came out of us? Last week, my newspaper described the conditions that the Hamas detainees in Israel are being held. I mean, those are horrible descriptions and nobody cares. Not that we should think that Hamas people are people who deserve special treatment, not at all. They deserve punishment, obviously, very heavy punishment. But to lose any kind of humanity only because we were shocked and attacked on the 7th, I cannot accept it, and the world doesn't accept it.
There's also the conversation that's surrounding this conflict, Gideon. We spoke with numerous spokespeople from the Israeli government on this programme, and I asked one in particular about the starvation that people in Gaza are facing. The entire population is facing starvation, according to the US and the UN and various aid agencies. And we've seen the pictures. It was denied by the Israeli government spokesperson that there was starvation in Gaza. What do we do with that?
Me, as an Israeli, it's almost worse the reaction of Israelis to the starvation than the starvation itself. Because if a people is so apathetic, is living in such denial, is spreading all kind of lies only to feel good with himself, then we have a serious problem. The starvation will be overcome, I hope. The starvation will be solved, I hope. There is now much more aid coming into Gaza, and I'm so glad about it. But Israel will remain these people who looked at starving people and couldn't care less. This, in my view, will accompany us for many years now.
What's happening then in terms of reaction on the streets of Tel Aviv and other cities in Israel? What's being said in the media? I know families of hostages are protesting over the weekend. How are people reacting to all of this?
So first of all, don't be wrong about the protest. The protest focuses only on two things. One, to get rid of Netanyahu, rightly so. And the second one, to call for the release of the hostages, also rightly so. Nothing in the protest is aimed against the war, against the crimes, against the starvation. Nothing of it. And the main thing that should be mentioned again and again, that the Israeli media is preventing its viewers and readers from being exposed to the horrible scenes in Gaza.
Why?
Most of the Israelis know nothing about what's going on there.
Why is that?
Only because of commercial reasons, to please the viewers and the readers. They don't want to bother them too much. This is what they expect them to show them, to show how Israel is, as usual, just and beautiful, and don't bother us with all kinds of reports about starvations and diseases and innocent people being killed in masses.
But at the same time, now we've learned that in the last few moments that the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, has set a date, he says, for the ground invasion of Rafah, where about 2 million Palestinians are trapped, according to various accounts. And Israel has been warned not to invade Rafah. Is there any political voice in Israel warning Benjamin Netanyahu that this is the wrong course? Or would that be seen as unpatriotic?
So that's the problem, that even the alternative to Netanyahu, and I really think he has to go, but even the alternative to Netanyahu is not so much different when it comes to questions like this. Because nobody in Israel raised its voice against the penetration into Rafah. And Rafah can turn into a bloodbath that we never saw before. Hopefully not, yes? And I'm not sure that Netanyahu is going to invade Rafah, because by the end of the day, it really doesn't depend on Netanyahu anymore. It depends on the White House in Washington, D.C. And if the White House in Washington, D.C. will seriously want to prevent it, the White House knows very well how to prevent another invasion into Rafah.
How? How would that happen? Because they have defied, in rhetoric anyway, the Prime Minister has defied calls from the White House previously. So how would they prevent?
No, it's not
invasion?
About rhetorics. It's not about rhetorics. It's about taking measures. Israel depends now on the United States like never before. The moment that the Americans will decide to put an end to this war will be over within hours. They just have to take measures, not to talk, not to threaten, not to give advices, not to condemn, but just to take measures.
And what measures do you mean?
First of all, stopping the supply to Israel. Biden, who I really think he's really maybe a last president of his school, but as long as he continued to condemn Israel and to criticize Israel, he supplied an unlimited quantity of weapons to Israel and ammunition. So either you want this war to continue, so say it. And if you want it to stop, stop equipping Israel with weapons and ammunition. That's so simple.
My last question is, how could this war be over after the ground invasion of Rafah, or could it go on for another 6 months?
The question is, what is the end of the war? Because in my view, end of the war is that the last soldier of Israel leaves the Gaza Strip. And Gaza is open to the world. And Gaza has a port and an airport, and Gaza is a free place, like any other place in the world, and the siege is over. This I don't see happening in the coming future. And therefore, the definition of a war will be if the Israeli army will stay in Gaza, resistance will continue, violence will be terrible from both sides, and there will be no end of the war. End of the war will be only after, first of all, releasing the hostages, obviously, releasing Palestinian prisoners in Israel, because that's the deal, and not only because of this, and then really getting to some kind of new reality in Gaza. If not, so there will be a pause, a ceasefire, which will last weeks or months or maybe a year, and then we'll be back on track.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme, Israeli journalist Gideon Levy.